That's wonderful. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll have a look at tonight's message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. And Lord, as we stop and we consider you and your names, I pray that we may learn a little bit more about you and things about our Bible that we may not have known before but wondered about. And so, Lord, we do pray that you'll be our teacher tonight. Give me wisdom as well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I preached on a Sunday evening, I began to look at some of the names of God, if you can remember. And we saw how in the Old Testament, often, or usually when we have the word God, it is the Hebrew word Elohim. And can anyone remember what the key thought of Elohim is? I can't hear if someone's saying something. Oh, well, I'll do that one again. I'll do that message. I'll keep going until we get it. Anyone like to guess? Strength. Did I hear strength? Thank you. Yep. Strength and power. And so the word Elohim has that idea of we have a all-powerful God who is strong there for us. Okay. And then we looked at Lord with a capital L but little O-R-D that is found in the Old Testament, and that is the Hebrew word Adonai. Anyone like to hazard a guess what that means? Jenny? That's it. So he is our master, our Lord in that sense. Landlord. He's our landlord and he's the one who controls us. And so we have an all-powerful God who owns cattle on a thousand hills. He owns this world. And I trust he owns you as well. And so they were the two that we looked at last time. And there is one more word, one more name that is used significantly through the Old Testament. And that predominantly is found in the Old Testament as Lord as well. But it's in the capital, L-O-R-D. And in the Hebrew, it is the word Jehovah. And it's this word Jehovah that I'm probably going to confuse you with tonight. Okay? So there's a lot of things here. If you're a little bit sleepy, you're probably going to miss it all. But there is some interesting things I suspect that you may not have known before, or you've probably forgot, considering you forgot Elohim 3 weeks ago. So, when it comes to the Hebrew word Jehovah, or where we see in capital Lord, the Hebrew word is this. All right, that's transliterated. That's not how it looks in the Hebrew, but the transliteration is that. And so, this brings up a few questions. That is, how do you pronounce it, for starters? How is it translated in the English? And then, what does it mean? These are the key things that we're going to consider this evening. Now, one of the reasons why it's a bit difficult knowing how to pronounce this word here is, one reason is that in Hebrew, they don't have vowels. Okay? That's really handy. If you go to school, you don't have to worry about learning vowels. They just have consonants. I said a few words wrong last time when I got picked up by a school teacher down here. And so they don't have vowels. And so you just learn how to say something by hearing it in those days. So people would speak it, and so they'd know how you pronounce a word. For example, just say we didn't have any vowels in our alphabet, and we came up with a sentence like this. Would we know how to read that? Does anyone hazard a guess what that sentence is? I love my little rabbit? Yeah, because we have an understanding of the words, but realistically, we just know how we say little and how we say rabbit and so on, because we've heard it said. So if we see a rabbit, or we see it written as well, we say rabbit, even though it could be robot, rabbot, robit. It could be a lot of things there, really, if we had to put the vowels in. And, you know, there is no vowels to put in. You just have the consonants. Now, what would make this even harder is if no one ever... Let's just use the word rabbit. Just say no one ever used the word rabbit or spoke the word rabbit for 400 years or more. They would write R-B-B-T, but no one would say it. You would say after a couple of generations and after a few centuries, no one would really know how to pronounce it because they've never heard it. You'd just see R-B-B-T. No one's spoken that for 400 years, so how on earth do you say it? Well, no one would know. You could say it in many ways. As I said, rabbit, or robot, you know. You could say it in lots of ways. And so that's where the difficulty would be. And this is what happened with this word that we have up there in the Hebrew. For hundreds of years, the Jews were too scared to pronounce this word and say it. They were afraid of using it and blaspheming the holy name. And there was good reason for this. For example, God said, "Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah, thy God, in vain, for the Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And so they weren't to take the name in vain. So you weren't just meant to use this word, let's say Jehovah, as we know it as, just saying it out for no reason. It says in Leviticus, "And he that blasphemeth the name of Jehovah, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of Jehovah, shall be put to death," or "he that blasphemeth." And so, if you used this special name for God, as we know Jehovah, in a wrong way, you could be put to death. Now, it even got to the point where they believed saying the name was blaspheming the name of the Lord. And so if you even spoke the word, it's blasphemy and you could be put to death. And so because of that, the Jews never said the word. And so that was quite difficult, although they would write the consonants. And so they wrote the consonants, but they never said the word. Now, around 200 years BC, the scribes decided to make up little signs for vowels so that people could read it, read the scriptures, and they would know how to say it and read it easier. So they made up little squiggles. If you had to learn Hebrew, like I unfortunately had to, I forgot it all, but you have to learn all the vocabs, you have to learn all these vowels, and there's little squiggles for the E and the O and the different places they go. But that was what the Jews did 200 BC. So they'd had the scriptures for a long time prior to this, but they added this. But when they came to this special word, they didn't know how it was spoken. And so they didn't know which vowels to put in because no one had spoken it for 400 years. And when they came across a word where they didn't know how it was said, what they would do is take the word that people used in place of it. You see, when they were reading the scripture, when they came to this word, instead of saying that, they would say Adonai, all right, Master, Lord. And so as they're reading, they would just substitute and say Adonai as well. And so that is the word that they would read out, even though that isn't what was written in the scriptures, because no one wanted to say the word. And so when they was trying to work out what vowels to put in, they took the vowels from Adonai and added it into that first name, that special name. So that's how we get Yehovah, okay? And so we have the Yehovah there. And sometimes, and it doesn't quite fit, but Yahweh in that regard, that's another form of it as well. But no one actually knows how you're meant to say it. Now, the saga doesn't end there because, as you can see from the first set of names that we saw, that's very different to Jehovah, isn't it? That's how we say it, Jehovah. So how do you get Jehovah out of Yehovah and Yahweh, or one of those two? Well, from what I've been reading, it came about in 1520. So that's a long time past the Lord Jesus, when a gentleman by this name who was translating the Hebrew into English, and he was transliterating the word for Jehovah in that sense, or Yehovah in there. But what he did, now I don't know why, but he put a J instead of a Y and a V instead of a W. And so instead of Yehovah, we got Jehovah. All right? Now, why he did that, why he changed it, I don't know why they just didn't stick to Yehovah. So when he was translating the Hebrew into the English, in his translation, he would have Jehovah there. Now, come across to 1610 is when the King James Version was translated. And when the King James translators came upon this special word, Jehovah, if we want to refer to it, or Yehovah, no one exactly knows how to say it, they thought they would go back to how the Jews did it in the first place, where instead of saying Jehovah, or using the special word, they would go to Lord again, which means Master. But they said, what we'll do is we'll put it in the capitals, so people know it's not the Hebrew word Adonai, it's the Hebrew word Yehovah. Have I lost you? If I have, I'm sorry. All right. But to make things even more confusing, they didn't do it all the time. All right? For example, Exodus 6:3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And so there are, if I got it right, six times that they didn't translate the word Lord in capitals, but they put Jehovah instead. Look at this psalm here that they translated. It's the same Hebrew word, but translated two different ways. Verse 16, fill their faces with shame that they may seek my name, O Jehovah, or Lord. Let them be confused and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, same Hebrew word, art the most high over all the earth. So why they chose these random little occasions to put Jehovah instead of putting Lord in the capitals, I don't know. Maybe to show the difference, or to mix it up a little bit, or a bit of variation, because they said they'd like to do that in their translation of the scriptures. And so what this means is, Yahweh, Yehovah, Jehovah are all just different ways for the same Hebrew word that no one knew how to pronounce. But when we see in our King James Version, Lord in capital, or Jehovah, this is the word that it's talking about. This special word. God's holy name that the Jews for centuries were too scared to even mention. And we need to understand that God is a holy God and there needs to be reverence. I think often we use the name of the Lord in vain, we use his name too easily. And there ought to be a reverence about it. And so that's why there's a bit of confusion why it's in the capital sometimes as Lord, and sometimes we have Jehovah, the same Hebrew word. Now the next thing is, what does Jehovah mean? Well, let me confuse you a little bit more. It comes from the root word, and so it comes originally from a word called Hava. Now, if you think that's the way you could pronounce it, it's probably not. That's how I pronounce it. It might be Hakva or something like that in the however they do it. It means to become, to be. Right? That's the verb to be. And this is where we see it used in Exodus. Exodus 3:13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God, that would have been Elohim, said unto Moses, I am that I am, or Hava, Hava. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Hava hath sent me unto you. That's basically what he said. I am hath sent them unto you. And in verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, or Jehovah, or Hoa, God, Elohim, of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so when Moses said, what will I say your name is? He says, say, I am. And so he brings it back to the very root form of Jehovah as we know it. So, Yahweh, Yehovah, Jehovah, Lord, all comes from this Hebrew word, Hava, to become or to be. And now this word means simply to exist. All right? There's no time that's inferred. It's just that it exists. It is the self-existing one. No beginning, no end. And in this word, what the Lord is explaining to us is that he is the eternal one. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's just there. And he's always been there. He is the one that has always existed. Now, the New Testament comparison to this would be found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Here is another comparison. We think about alphabet, the beginning and the ending, and so on. Which is, which was, which is to come. He's always been here, and he always will be there. And that's what this phrase is talking about. There is no marking of time with God because he has no beginning or ending. Furthermore, he never changes. He is the eternal one in the present tense, if you want to look at it like that. In Genesis, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, or Jehovah, the everlasting God. And so we not only have a God who is full of strength and who is mighty, we also have a God who is our Lord and our Master, and we also have a God who is the everlasting one. We have a God who has always been there and always will be there. He'll be there. He has been there at the beginning of time. He will be there at the end of time and forever after time as well. Now, it's very interesting doing a word study of the phrase I am in the New Testament. And here we get a better picture of the I am of the Bible. We turn over, you can look there up on the screen or turn into your Bibles, but if you look in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus saying here, and it's interesting to note where it says the word he, that is in the translators of the King James put it in italics because it's not there in the original. They just put that there to make sense for us in English. But it says there, I said therefore unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. When you consider that's what the Lord said to Moses. He says, what's your name? And he says, just tell them I am have sent you. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, unless you believe I am, all right, I am the I am, you shall die in your sins. He said, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And it says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus is declaring himself to be the I am of the Old Testament. And as a part of the Trinity, he is. I'm not going to say he was the only one. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But in that, Jesus, as the Son, God the Son, was a part of the I am. In the New Testament, he declares it. Now, when he is the I am, he tells us a few things about what the I am is for us. It says, I am the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so he is the door to heaven. That's a good thing. The I am of the Old Testament is the door to the heaven, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so he is our shepherd as well as we live our life. I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so he is the light of this world. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. All these have to do with being saved and having that eternal life in heaven. It is all through Jesus, the I am of the New Testament. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus, as part of the Godhead, is the I am of the Old Testament and is the I am of the New Testament. And so in that concept that he is ever existing, no beginning, no end, what we discover is he wasn't a created being. No, he was always there. Does Jesus, or even if we want to talk about the Godhead, does Jehovah need anyone? No, he's the self-existing one. He doesn't need anyone to exist. Does he rely on anyone? No, he's been there well before any mankind came along or any being. Does he receive life from anyone? No, he's the self-existing one. But if you look at the flip side, we were created, aren't we? We need Him. We rely on Him. Can you see how blasphemous it must be when we try to put ourselves above Jehovah, the all-existing one, where we think we are better than Him and we make ourselves to be our own God? He's the one that doesn't need anyone, yet we need Him. He doesn't need us, but let's be very sure we need Him. But on the other hand, despite the fact that He doesn't need us, we learn throughout the Scriptures He wants us. And that's pretty amazing. Like, as a parent, when your children are little, it's lovely when they put up their hand, their arms, and they want to cuddle, and they come to you for things. They want you, but they need you. All right, okay. They're not going to survive long without you. But once they leave home and they are able to look after themselves, if they still want you and spend time with you, that's even more special. You don't even need me now, but you still want me. And that's what we have in God. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. And so we have this amazing God who His name declares various things. The Elohim, the all-powerful one. Adonai, our master, the one who owns us. Jehovah, the eternal, all-existing one. And so just in these three names, we learn a lot about the Lord. And I'll probably do one more message, probably next Sunday night, and we'll look at other names which are more so compound names, where they put two words together in order to tell us a little bit more about our Lord God. But they are the three key names for God. God, Lord, and Lord in capitals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. And Lord, You have revealed Yourself to us in different ways. And Lord, I'm sure that when we get to heaven, we'll see that this was only a glimpse of the various ways that You could have described Yourself. I pray that as we stop and consider these names, these three alone, that we would understand how holy You are, how mighty You are, and how much reverence we ought to have towards You. I pray that not just our words will be one of reverence, but Lord, our life would be as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.